Welcome to the latest iteration of Behind the Beard. Today, no Pat. We got Lewis, Carson, and myself.
The boys.
How's it going?
Wow. I tell you what, they knew immediately once it was not Pat. Welcome to another iteration.
No, I can't do it like Pat. At least Carson showed up this week, Lewis.
I'm glad he didn't try to hurt himself on the way here today.
I did. I told Mike I wore a helmet all day today, so we're good. But yeah, last Monday, not good. Would have much rather been here than in the mission ER getting my brain scanned.
Did you guys hear that they're like put on an investigation again?
About? Yeah.
Yeah, admissions back on like the critical list.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, I did. I actually was in their fleet department this morning, and they were telling me all about it. And supposedly they've been doing some sketchy stuff for a little while, and they just got caught.
Indeed, I was there a couple weeks ago, and to draw blood, it took them 8 sticks.
Wow!
Yeah, both arms, both hands, and they finally got it. I went like a week later for my work to do my like, know your numbers thing. The guy got it the first time. I'm like. Mission's just not up to par.
No. But I tell you who is up to par is Behind the Beard. We're covering all things sports. You know, what does he say? If this podcast isn't for you, there might be something else. But, yeah. You know, this podcast should be for you.
It should be, right? I don't even know why he says that. This podcast is for you.
This is exactly. It's for high school kids to listen and high school athletes to listen and let us know when we messed up. It's for it's for coaches to get some juice, get some fire.
I mean, your only other options, like the Citizen Times and all that, half the time they don't even know who's playing.
And you got to pay for it.
You got to pay for it.
Yeah, this is free.
This is free.
Yep. So, no, we're anything else? I mean, anything big things happen this weekend for you guys?
What about Billy Napier fired at Florida?
Yeah, I mean, and we're talking the coaching carousel in college is going to be, I mean, there's some big-time jobs open.
I mean, you already got Penn State.
Penn State and Florida are now open.
I think they're going to fire Florida State's coach, too.
Did you see where they were doing calls with the boosters and just trying to figure out where to, you know, $100 million where to come up with?
They're lining it up.
There's absolutely no doubt there's enough money in college football.
I've got a solid $5 for them if they do it.
So... Florida State 0-9 in their last ACC conference game.
God, dude, it's so bad.
0-9.
So bad.
I tried to watch.
At least you didn't fumble on the one going in for the win.
That's true.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. But the best part about that was it's a 10:30 start time. So it's like, I did not watch the end of it.
I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
Not many people did.
Yeah. So we're on at North Carolina. We're on to bigger and better things.
Basketball? You ready for basketball? Is that what's up next for you guys? Basketball? You're a basketball school, right?
I'm not sure. I'm excited. I don't know. We're excited for baseball.
But you can't fire him.
No.
Because
are we talking about Belichick or Davis?
Yeah, Belichick.
Doing sports.
I wouldn't say you can't. They're gonna figure something. They're gonna try and figure something.
Well, then his son's the next coach.
Yeah, but they'll figure something out with litigation. That's my prediction. Or it will just be a dumpster fire and a absolute, not good for a couple years.
I did go down a wild tangent about that. What if he actually dies and then his son starts dating his girlfriend?
I mean, that'd be, probably wouldn't be the most shocking thing.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
They'd definitely be closer in age.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So. I don't know. We'll see. It's just a tough time. There's only a few. College football is so fun. There's so much parity this year. I mean, Ohio State's beating the crap out of everybody. But besides that, Indiana going to Oregon, getting that win. That's huge. That coach, did you guys know that in 2007, 2009, he was a wide receivers coach at Bama, making $250,000?
He's part of the Nick Saban.
He's a Nick Saban, yeah, coaching tree. And then he left wide receivers coach at Bama to go be the head coach. I think it was IUP. And cut his salary in half, making $125,000.
Ooh.
And he bet on himself. And then next thing you know, now it's $11 million a year.
Good for him.
So,
speaking of betting on yourself, I saw earlier that Caden Jones' ankle injury at Alabama, he's out for a while.
Yeah.
So, hate to see that. Local kid.
That sucks, especially as good of a year as they're having.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been playing, you know, special teams, a few snaps on defense.
Yeah.
So.
That's why I was wondering how much game time he's actually getting.
He's getting some. I guess some at Alabama's pretty good.
Yeah, then you got Day-Day Stone at Duke. He's starting. He's made some big plays this year. I mean, it's just...
He's the leading tackler for Duke.
Yeah.
Jim Winfrey reminds me of that every time I see him.
Does he really?
And, you know, Duke's having a decent year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
That must be Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Good things going on. We've had some very good high school games this past Friday. Some exciting. One coach posted on his Instagram story was the best, most exciting game that he had ever been a part of.
Oh, wow.
And that's referring to the Asheville-Irwin game.
The old comeback.
Yeah, crazy, which we'll dive into, but that's...
That's wild.
What a wild game.
Yeah, I left the Madison-Owen game, and we flipped the radio on. There was 4 minutes left, and they were down 9. And I was like, oh, looks like Irwin's going to win.
Yep.
And then it was like, bang, bang, bang. We walked into the tavern, and I was like, I wonder what happened. We were with Sam Freeman. He takes his ex-wife, and she's like, we just scored. We just won the game. I'm like, this is no this way. I got to hear the whole story. The whole story.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So, well, let's get into last week. You want to talk about the... the picks. How do we do on the picks?
Well, we got exciting news. One of us that's not seen 500 in quite some time.
All season. Yeah.
Has now hit the 500 threshold. So, Mike, give it to us.
All right. Here we go. I got to find it. I can't remember where I wrote it down. So, here we are. Lewis had a big week. 8-2.
Of course.
He's now 54-32 and in first place by 4. Carson rebounded to a 7-3. He's 4 back, 50-37. Pat also 7-3. That gets him above 500, 44-42, still in last place. Yeah, laid an egg, 5-5. I had a chance to have a big week.
It was close, too. It actually was.
There were a lot of close games.
Like in the third quarter, I was pretty concerned. But then it turned around for me.
Yeah, when I first saw the pick sheets, since I wasn't here last week, and I probably would have, it probably saved me a couple games because I would have done what Mike did where I would have tried to go against the grain on a few of them. And so I really, Mike could have been in first place after last week.
Here, play the clip of Carson picking last week. Yeah, that's it. He didn't pick anything last week.
No, just 7-3, which feels right, doesn't it, Lewis?
Oh, man.
I mean, that's typical.
That's typical for me. 8-2 is such a strong week for you.
Beth asked me this morning, she was like, how did Carson go from being shit last year to all of a sudden being in second place?
What did you tell her?
I said, you know what? Everybody gets lucky every once in a while.
Even the sun shines on a dog's butt once in a while.
Nine weeks in, guys.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, man.
Hold on a minute.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
He finally figured it out.
A lot of study in this offseason. Yeah. I figured out. Did y'all know the plus sign means they're underdogs?
Oh, that's what it means?
Why didn't no one tell me that last year?
Oh, man. You're the one who brought the spreads in.
I know.
You were the driver of the spreads.
Well, I'm just like, when Reynolds plays North Buncombe, it's like, oh, who's going to win?
We could have probably not done spreads this year, and it would have been... I mean,
there's a lot of games that don't have spreads.
That's true.
There's a lot of games that are a lot closer than they've been in the past.
And I actually like it. I mean, I understand why we have to have the spread, but I like it when we have a good pick 'em.
Yeah, that means not just that we think it's close, but Simmons also thinks that it's going to be a close game.
Right.
Well, let's talk about last week. What do you say?
Let's do it.
We'll start with one of our out-of-town games. We had Hickory at East Lincoln. East Lincoln was a 1.5-point favorite at home, and they lose 31-28. Carson Pat Lewis got this one correct.
I think you're going to be saying that a lot.
Yeah, a lot here. It's coming up. CPL. I write down the initial CPL. Not the next one, though. So the second out-of-town game, Mallard Creek at Indy, Independence. This was a top 25 matchup. Indy a 5.5-point underdog, and they win 35-0. Mallard Creek used 4 quarterbacks and only had 165 yards of offense, while Independence – they rushed for 419 yards and had 3 rushers with over a 10 yards per carry average.
I love that.
That's dominating the line of scrimmage.
Love it.
So they basically, they just manhandled them from the start.
Yes, their offensive line must have just,
I mean.
Must have been.
Yeah, if you're that positional coach, I mean, Saturday at film, you're just sitting there. I mean, you know, it's like you're not bringing the donuts or biscuits.
That's true.
That's true. Very true. So next up, we had Cherokee at Swain. By the way, I was the only one who got independent.
Yes.
Good job, Mike.
Cherokee at Swain. Swain, a 21.5-point favorite at home, and they just pummeled Cherokee 40-14. Carson Pat Lewis got that one correct. No stats from that game. So next up, we had a pick'em. What was a fantastic football game in the Valley. Madison traveled to Owen, was a pick'em. No stats for Owen, but for Madison, Ivan Blankenship. 30 carries for 181 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He also had 20 tackles. I should probably give the score. Owen wins the game 29-22. What a game. Hey, the opening fumble. Madison gets the ball. First play, they fumble. That was the game changer right there.
Good team set the tone early.
Yeah. And you were, ready to go. And in what I would call a must-win game for you guys. You guys got the win, so, that's huge.
A lot of the viewers want to know, Mike, you got anything to say?
It looks like Owen's the better team.
Okay, thank you.
At home.
Thank you.
At home, anyway.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We're going to have some happy listeners this week.
There's a lot of fun stuff we do, but I've really enjoyed this debate all year.
So, Owen, Madison, basically, if you switch jerseys, you wouldn't know the difference. It's the same football team.
Me and their coaches were kind of talking during the game. Imagine if we just combined teams. It would be a pretty – their offensive line.
They had a big offensive
very
line.
Very physical.
Yeah.
We kind of worked them a little bit, but they did – we out-schemed them, did some stuff like that. But if we had their offensive line with our athletes, watch out.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they're basically the same team.
Yeah. Although, the school's relative, same size.
Yeah, they're very close.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just one of those games where Owen's had the year that they've had. They've got some wins. It's one of those where I would have called it the must win for Owen, and they got the win. That solidifies. We're already going to be in the playoffs, but now it's I don't think that you can say, it's Owen got in just because.
Do you got anything about projections or any of that?
I do. Yeah, okay. We'll get to that. Owen.
We've been talking about it all weekend, and I feel like we're probably going to have a home game.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
Currently third in conference. You're probably going to end up fourth.
Yeah, sure.
Mitchell will probably jump you. They got, I think they have Madison next week. You guys have Mount Heritage.
Hopefully Madison's so pissed that they just beat Mitchell.
That'd be good. But yeah. You guys got beat, what, 30?
I think so.
Mitchell pretty solid.
Mitchell's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just about like Mount Heritage. They're same in, same out,
Yeah, we'll exciting. How was the turnout? Was there pretty exciting?
The crowds was pretty good on both sides.
Pretty good?
Yeah. I'm sure they did a good dollar, a good gate and all that.
Madison late arriving, but it's a long way.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I'm glad you said that. There's something I really like Owen does. As I walk through the Reynolds Booster parking lot and it's half full, I think this would be a great idea to raise money. And you may not even know that they do this because I know you get there real early. If you want to park in that lower lot where the baseball field is,
$5.
It's $5. Or you can park to the right and walk up 10,000 stairs, down 10,000 stairs, and to the other side.
And that's the easiest $5.
Yeah, Pat paid the $5, and we walked in from there.
Yeah.
That's the parking lot was jam-packed, too.
Yeah.
It's not like people were like, no, I'm not paying them. It was full. And you walk through that booster parking lot at Reynolds, it's always about half full.
And it was cool what we did with the money this time. Did you hear all that?
No idea. I just know I paid $5.
Oh, so the quarterback for Madison, his dad graduated from Owen, going through some health concerns.
Dallas, his dad did? Baxter?
Yeah.
That's incredible. He's the one that's been very sick all year, and a lot of people stepped up and trying to help him.
And I think we gave the Owen share of 50-50 and all those $5 to him.
That's incredible.
That's
he's the one that helps Coach Tipton coach baseball.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly what you're talking about. So. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a good fundraiser for these schools with parking lots that are close and you don't use them.
And Pat has how many $5, you think?
Yeah, that was nothing to Pat.
How many dump truck loads of
$5? I was going to say, there's not enough Brinks trucks with $5.
He opened his wallet and gold coins fell out, like actual gold pieces.
Ding, ding, ding,
and that's
ding,
like 4,000 an ounce right now.
Sure.
So. And people ask us all the time, dude, that's just a bit, right? You guys are just playing. I'm like, no.
No, dude.
Pat's got money.
Yeah. He owns like six. They flew down to the Keys this week.
He is actually at the Keys. He's got the keys to the Keys.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So let's talk a little more. Mitchell at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage, a 26.5-point favorite at home, and they win 45-13. Pat and Lewis got this one correct. For Mitchell, they had 134 yards of total offense. For Mount Heritage, running back Rodriguez, 17 carries, 148 yards, and a touchdown. Listen to this stat. Kaysen Jones had 4 carries, guys.
118 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's 29.5 yards per carry.
Was that in the first quarter?
That was for the game. For the game, Mount Heritage rushed for 370 yards and 7 touchdowns. They don't mess around when it comes to running the football.
That's our next game.
They only attempted 2 passes.
Yeah, that's gonna make for a quick game.
Yeah. So, well, we'll talk about it, but this week.
That's the game to go to.
Two opposites, but yeah. We'll get to that. Next up, Hendersonville was at Avery. Avery, a 48.5 point home underdog. We all got this one correct, as Hendersonville wins 78-26. Quarterback Jerron Ward was 11-14 for 239 yards and 4 touchdowns. Running back Jordan Buford, 8 carries, 108 yards and 2 touchdowns. For Avery, the highlight, wide receiver Oak Markland had 7 catches for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns. At halftime, guys, this game was 71-13 Hendersonville.
Whew.
Hendersonville not afraid to put up some points.
I mean, in a hurry.
And I feel like sometimes they do it by accident, you know, like a defensive score or something like that. You know, you never know.
I do think 26 is one of the some of the most that Avery has scored this year.
Yeah, but it just, I mean, that's crazy that you accident that. I mean, that so many points at halftime.
70.
Whatever the over under was for the total hit. Oh. I mean, cashed early.
Halfway through the first.
Yes. Yeah, that's remarkable.
But we were talking about that, so we know Hendersonville had to put some backups in for Avery to score because they are not good.
No.
They're definitely getting some other guys some work,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Especially on defense, I think they loaded them, you know.
Definitely.
Avery did score. I did see Avery scored on the first possession. Their first possession.
That surprises me a lot.
Yeah. So, next up, we had Brevard at West Henderson. West Henderson, a home 23.5 point underdog. And what do great teams do, Carson?
Great teams cover.
They lost 41-27, but did cover. Carson Pat Lewis got this one right.
Now, Mike, I'm intrigued to know this. Last week before we went on air and we did all this, Derek said this was like money in the bank.
He did.
And you didn't go with it. I mean, this is our football guru.
I know. I just felt like Brevard would cover. I don't know. So for Brevard, Christian Conley was 12 of 17 through the air for 255 yards and 4 touchdowns. Running back Braylon Thompson, 14 carries for 120 yards. Wide receiver Thompson wins 7 catches, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So for West, Cade Young, 17 of 28, 308 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good. Zane McGraw out of the backfield, 21 carries for 167 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also caught 4 passes for 137 yards and a touchdown. So he had over 300 yards offense himself.
4 receptions for 137?
Yes, sir.
Is Zane a senior? Have we just established that? Yeah, I think he's a senior, but what a key fixture he's been for West Henderson these last few years. I mean, he's just been, I mean, he's filled up stat sheets. I know he had that injury at the end of the last season, but I mean, the dude can play football.
Yeah, once, remind me.
Truett Manuel.
Once Truett left, he's kind of stepped
up. He's definitely stepped up for him.
So anyway, Brevard's still undefeated, guys. I'll be honest with you, I don't see him losing a game till, you know, I don't know if they lose the playoffs. But
I'm about to say, do you think they sweep the playoffs? State championship?
Sweep the playoffs? Oh, I mean, that's.
They're right now looking like the number one seed, but listen, it's hard to win from the mountains. But everybody makes the playoffs. All the groups are smaller. There's better chance this year than last.
Yeah. There's a lot better chance.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I expect them to make a good run, but I don't think it's a disappointing year if they don't win a state championship. It's one of those, in my opinion. Because every coach we've talked to, and even like Coach Laws that's won state championships, you got to kind of get lucky. The
yes.
chips have to fall your way. You've got to stay healthy. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. Because you got to be perfect every Friday night.
How difficult do you guys think it is to be a coach over there where like you're just rolling people? And like you got to try to keep the guys like.
Do you think you want to lose one to get them fired up for the playoffs?
Well, definitely. I think like if you're going to drop one, you need to drop one the next couple weeks.
Yeah, but it's one of those, I don't know. I talked about it with Coach today. It's like, you know, is that bye week? You know, if you're a head coach, are you wanting that bye week one, or do you not want that bye week?
I think you want it late.
It's that rest.
I like it late for injuries.
It's that rest versus rust where it's like.
You're talking about playoffs?
Yeah.
Getting the first round
getting
bye.
That first round bye.
Oh, playoffs.
Yeah, do you want that?
I do not want the bye. Yeah.
it just...
And you want to keep rolling if you're rolling.
When you get done, I mean, when you get done playing that Friday night, your last game of the regular season, it's like, you're not playing again for 2 weeks. So a lot can happen. You got to keep your guys focused and stuff.
But it also lets your guys get healthy.
Correct. And so there's a lot of benefits to it as well.
What if you had, like, you know, we have this week as a bye. What if you have next week as a bye?
And a first round bye. Yeah. You'd be rusty.
Dude, that would be bad.
That's rusty.
That'd be real bad.
Yeah.
So next up, TC at Inca. Inca 32.5-point home underdog. TC wins 41-0. Carson Lewis might get this one correct. Inca only had 69 total yards. I got no stats for TC yet today, but Inca, 69 total yards. So not good. Not good over an Inca Candler.
No, not good. And it's, I mean, that's why when you're not playing North Buncombe, it's that could happen.
I do have a question on your score, on your sheet.
Sure.
Why is L never first? I mean, it's like CPL.
Because it's in alphabetical order.
ACL. I mean, this is.
It's Carson, Pat, Lewis, Mike. That's how it goes. I'm always last. Does I don't that make like you it. Feel better? I mean, you'll be first if no one else picks it. But
I do enjoy it when you're at the back.
Yeah, bet. So next up, what was probably the most exciting game, not only of the week, probably of the year? Irwin at Asheville. This was a pick 'em. In reality, guys, this is the game for third place in the MAC.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Asheville gets the win 41-35. That doesn't tell the whole story. Let me give you some stats, and then I think Carson's got some info. For Irwin, Caden Engel, 18 of 28 with a touchdown and an interception. Running back Jabari Tolbert, 26 carries. Freshman running back, by the way. 26 carries, 112 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And then Noah Hudum, 10 catches for 137 yards. For Asheville, Tay Williams, 14 of 18, 313 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He had 5 rushes for 4 yards and an additional 3 touchdowns. And then Jam Skies, 8 catches for 147 yards. Running back TK Davis, 12 carries for 120. No shortage of offense in this game, Carson.
No. And it sounded from people I talked to, it sounded like, I mean, both, you know, Irwin kind of, you know, had a complete control in the first half, 21-7, I believe, going into half. And it sounded like the momentum switched. It was right after half. You know, Irwin's driving down and they got a stop. I think there was like a high snap and then stopped behind line of scrimmage, turnover on downs. Well, then that's kind of that. I mean, that could have been made it 28-7. And then you're really trying to catch up. But it seemed to me was from what I gathered was every time it does not look like on paper they got stops or, you know, they had any turnovers or anything like that. But in reality, the game was so back and forth, so fast paced that there, you know, it seemed like whenever they needed that stop or that turnover that they got it. And the next thing you know, probably one of the, you know, wildest stats I've seen. If you told me Asheville and Irwin in the score, you had when Asheville comes back in the fourth quarter and they score a touchdown to go down 2 with 4-5 minutes left.
Right. They're down 9 with about
four and a half minutes left. They're down 9. Well, when they're down 9, they score a touchdown. That's a freshman. Okay. Not crazy. A freshman scores a touchdown. Well, then they get the game winning touchdown. That's another freshman. Okay. Then the game sealing interception, another freshman. And then a different freshman led the team in tackles. So it's one of those things where we've talked about it with the depth and the numbers and stuff, but from what I gathered, it was, you know, absolutely like just an intense, crazy game. Both teams absolutely could have walked away with a win. Both teams, like, I mean, the coaching staff, ton of respect for each other. I think both coaches really, really like each other. And so it's just one of those things that, you know, games like that don't happen every Friday night.
And sophomore, you know, counts for 5 touchdowns.
Counts for 5 touchdowns.
315, 17 yards.
I'm going to give you a chance to say it. You said it in our group chat. Would you like to say it now?
Carson talks about all the freshmen. I said, I bet Reynolds is licking their chops at all the transfers are getting ready to get.
I tell you what, I'm... Hey,
just get them to the barber shop. You know, they'll go over. Let's go.
I mean, they can use that one address that seems to be used quite a bit. But I'm telling you, with that quarterback and the things they've got going on, I'm hoping that these guys stay and they play with Court and they, how fun would it be to see a group, but you know, I talked about it with them and it's like, you know, with Tay, you want someone that's good enough, just like Caden Engel, and we talked about it with Coach Pruitt. You want someone that's good enough that's wanted by other people. Right. I mean, that's, you don't want, if Tay sucks and if he was not any good, which is not the case, you know, no one would want him. You would never have to worry about him leaving. Well, you know, Coach Radford's just got to get that guy to stick, and hopefully, you know, if something does happen with Coach Laws and he ends up leaving Reynolds, well, there's still going to be movement throughout the movement's right. gonna movement right. is always going to happen. Well, you know, if you're Asheville, you're hoping that movement may be, you know, maybe towards you to help benefit you, because you've got such a strong core to where it's like, you want, if I was wide receiver, it's like, I might want to go play with Tay next year.
Yeah. They got some big linemen coming back. They're going to be solid. If they keep that team together, they're going to be real solid next year.
But I will say, talking from who I talked to, one of the Asheville coaches, you know, super high praise over Caden Engel and just how many plays he was able to make. Where he was like, you know, during the game, I'm upset that this happened. Then I watched the film and I'm like, we ain't got nobody that can do anything with that play. So I think Caden had a great night. It was just one of those where he wasn't able. I mean, you can't, one player, it's, you know, it's that team concept. You can have the one guy. I know that, you know, Lawson being out is because the Asheville coaches had all the praise about Lawson, going back to just when we interviewed him. So, I mean, just exciting game.
So a couple things on the game. So Asheville scores to go down 9, try an onside kick. They don't get it. Irwin gets the ball.
That's not what I heard. I heard that Asheville recovered it and Irwin got the ball. And it's clear it was clear that Asheville recovered it. So there but that is I've not seen that play.
So Irwin gets the ball.
Irwin does get the ball.
Is this an umpire thing that you guys are talking about?
No.
So,
like they didn't actually get the ball?
So Carson's saying that, looking at the tape, Asheville had the ball.
Asheville coaches thought they had the recovery,
but they did not rule it that way.
No, it was ruled. It was ruled. It was ruled Irwin's ball, and Asheville got 2 stops.
So Asheville, who's, listen, their defense has not been fantastic this year. They get the stop when it matters.
Yes.
They go down and score. Then they kick off again.
And they get another stop.
Get another stop. I think they get a turnover, don't they?
I think they got two. They got back-to-back stops, scored a touchdown and get the lead, and then they got the interception.
And The last touchdown was like a 60-yard run. I mean, they broke screen, a long run. A screen pass.
Dude, the screen pass. And we watched the video a little earlier, and it was just, I mean, I think it was a 70-yard touchdown swing pass. I mean, he caught it behind the line of scrimmage, takes up, and then he ends up, it was one of those runs where he's, you know, got 40 yards to go, and then he cuts back across the field and runs diagonal to the other pylon.
Yeah. So two things. One, is this maybe a turning point for Asheville? Do they turn it up, turn it on right here? You know, we're almost playoff time. Do they get fired up and are they ready to go now?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think it was just a huge win for to not get swept by the three big ones, in my opinion.
I would say, too, that, I mean, this is a building game for those young players, right? Like, I don't say they turn it on and they're not going to make a mistake. They're facing, what they say, like a... They have like 9 freshmen or something crazy.
Yeah, I know that this Friday is their senior night. And I think they're going to have 9 seniors out there, and most of them are injured and not playing.
Right.
And they had another senior go down Friday night that will not be playing.
So for all those freshmen, this is going to pay off in the next 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So my second question is, Irwin's got the lead late. They're coming off a conference championship year, number 1 seed in the playoffs. I mean, does this break them? I mean, they lost one of their best players. Listen, Caden Engel is special, and he doesn't have a lot of help at the offensive line position, and he's running for his life, but he's still making some big plays. Yeah. I
think it shuts the door on the season, right?
They're going to make the playoffs. I just don't expect much from them from here. I mean, correct. God, that's a tough loss.
And yeah, it is.
They've had several tough losses.
And they've kept bouncing back.
And I think that probably what was gut-wrenching was that, you know, they had real high praise for that Irwin running back, and they were able to get some runs and stuff because he was talented. And then they also talked about number 15, which made a couple big catches against Reynolds when we watched. And they were like, you know, could you imagine, which I know Irwin's thinking this every day, but could you imagine with him and Lawson on both sides? I mean, that's where you can completely scheme different, because now you can man him up, put your best athlete on 15, play zone behind him, and then you just got to worry about the run on the other side, because you don't want him to beat you.
What was the stat Derry gave us today about 1-score games in Irwin? Do you remember? Was it 6?
I don't remember.
So I just looked it up. 3 losses by 6 points or less for Irwin. So the question that I got was, if they have Lawson Reynolds, does that make a difference? I mean, absolutely.
I think he has 14, 21 points, right?
Yeah.
He's worth every
defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And on offense, he's fantastic.
For sure.
And if nothing else, he keeps the, you know, everybody out of the box. You got more time. You can get him the ball in different situations. So, yes, I think that does make a difference. And I think Irwin is, you know, competing for a conference championship.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
So, the only person to get that one right, that's your boy, Mike. So, next up, we had Reynolds at North Buncombe. North Buncombe, a 32.5-point home favorite, and they lose. Reynolds wins 47-7. For Reynolds, they had two quarterbacks play. Avery Holifield, who was the original starter for the year, 6 of 6, 203 yards. Lewis, 4 of his 6 completed passes, they were touchdowns.
That's good. That's good.
So Colton Reimer, the starter of the last several weeks, 10 of 12, 109 and a touchdown. Ty Patterson, three, listen to this stat, 3 rushes for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. If that's correct on Max Preps. They've been wrong a couple times, but that's what it says. 3 rushes for 151. 2 catches for 33 and a TD. Caden Ray, 4 catches, 160 yards and 3 touchdowns. They average at about 30 yards a play.
That's awesome.
So, no stats for North Buncombe, but Reynolds gets the win in Weaverville.
Yeah, wild. I got a report that it was 0-0 after the first quarter.
Yeah, we started texting.
I literally was like that. I was like, that cannot be right.
I was really hoping.
I'm like, something's
like that cannot be right. And I think North Buncombe had 3 or 4 turnovers in the second, and it just unraveled quickly.
Right. So there it is. So let's talk about, we talked about the games. Let's talk about our conference standings real quick. You guys want to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, Carson, I'll let Lewis pick last week. What conference you want to start with?
Let's start with the superior one, the Mountain 8.
Okay. So for the Mountain 8, Brevard, 5-0. Franklin Pisgah right behind him at 4-1. West 3-2. Tuscola 2-3. Smoky and North 1-4. And East 0-5.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wow.
So next up, the Western Highlands. Hendersonville and Mount Heritage are tied at 4-0. Owens in third place at 3-2.
Let's go. Let's go.
Mitchell 2-2. Madison 2-3. Polk and Avery have yet to win a conference game. Pretty big gap between the top two.
For sure.
Those two, man, they're fantastic. And they play this week.
We already talked about it, but it's the game to go to.
Yes. So for the MAC, Reynolds and Robertson tied 3-0. Asheville, Inca, Irwin, all under 500 at 1-2. North Buncombe 0-3. I guess I would say Asheville holds the tiebreaker on Irwin.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
there's your conference standings. So next up, we got the Triple D Double T. Derek's Dirty Dozen Top 10.
Derek's Dirty Dozen.
Are you going to read it? You got to read it like Pat would, though, Carson.
I'm going to give it my best shot, but I think it's only fair for us, all three of us, because we got so much love about how Pat, you know, what the energy Pat brought. I really had to look myself in the mirror about what I've been doing for 8 weeks so far. So, I'm going to start. And just bear with me, okay? Because I know I'm not Pat.
So are you going to do the whole thing?
No, I'm just going to do the first couple, and then I'm going to let you go. I'll do the first three.
Okay. You should do the first four.
First four.
And then Lewis takes the next three.
All okay. Right. And then you can close it out.
And we'll do it. This is our best Pat impersonation.
Yes. So coming in at the 10 spot, you've got the Blues of Asheville School, previously not ranked. The Blues jump back into the power rankings at the 10 spot after a bounce back win against Covenant Day. We don't know who that is, but it's 41-0. And then, you know, coming in at the 9 spot.
Wait. Asheville School. I'm not familiar. Is that the private school in West Asheville?
Private school in West Asheville. Oh,
okay.
Yep.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yep. Hold on. Let me get back to Pat.
Sorry.
And in the 9 spot, you've got your Falcons of Mills River of West Henderson High School. The Falcons went blow for blow with the WNC's and the Derek's Dirty Dozen's best Brevard last Friday. It was a one possession game going in the fourth quarter in Mills River thanks to the efforts of Cade Young and Zane McGraw. But the Blue Devils proved to be too much offensively. And then we got the boys back in the Derek Dirty Dozen top 10. Asheville Cougars. A comeback for the ages. Reunited the Cougars back into life. Tay Williams led the Cougars. We talked about his enormous outbreak on offense. The high likely finishes at 5-5 as they close with North Buncombe and Inca in the final 2 weeks. Talk about get right games right before the playoffs. Can they ride the momentum from this and from this finish into the playoffs and make a run with this young team? It would not surprise me if they do. And I'm going to pass it on to Mr. Lewis Anderson.
At number seven, blazing in, we have Pisgah at 6-2. Physicality being the defining characteristic of your team can take its tail or can take its toll. However, that's what a bye week is for. The Bears are well rested following the emotional rivalry win against Tuscola the week before. Canton's finest closes with East Henderson and Brevard. Two easy teams, except for Brevard.
So one easy team.
The Mountain Eight still has some great games looming before we can crown a champion. Look for the Bears to make some noise in the final week of the year after they roll East Henderson. At number six, T.C. Robertson.
Remember when he used to call it Roberson?
Oh, that's a good one.
When we first started doing it, he called it Roberson. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Number six, T.C. Roberson. It's 5-3. The Rams have started to figure it out at the right time. The switch to the dual threat QB in Karad Harris has provided the spark that the Rams needed. TCR's defense is coming off of back-to-back shutouts. Can they continue their recent dominance against a pass-heavy Irwin squad? Probably not. Or will they get caught looking ahead to the matchup with number four, the most dominant team in the world, ACR, in the final week of the year? Coming in at number five, opposite of the most physical team in the world, Franklin 6-2, a bye week for the Panthers allows for the same or for some much needed rest before closing the year. With Smoky Mountain and West Henderson, the Panthers still have an outside shot at a share of the league title, but must win to put themselves in place for that opportunity. I can't do that.
All right, so we're up to what, number four?
Yeah, number four.
Coming in at number four, the Rockets of A.C. Reynolds, Rocket Nation. 482 yards on 27 was the paper popper stat of the week. You going to pop your paper, Carson? You going to pop the paper?
Pop that paper.
Carson always pops it.
The Rocket offense exploded against North Henderson, led by the two-headed monster of Tyvon Patterson-Davis and Caden Ray, who combined for 10 touches, 343 yards, and 5 touchdowns between them. The Rockets face a depleted Inca team this Friday before locking horns with the Rams of T.C. Robertson. Number three, Hendersonville Bearcats, 7-1. Top three remains unchanged. Hendersonville, 70? Yes, you heard that right. Hendersonville hangs 78 on Avery County Friday night. Is Avery County bad? Yes. Mm-hmm. But hanging 70.5 is an impressive look for the Bearcats going into a much-anticipated game against Mountain Heritage this week. If the Bearcats can continue to have explosive plays on offense and build an early lead against Mount Heritage, look for the Bearcats to come away with the win Friday night in Hendersonville. Number two, Mountain Heritage, also 7-1. The Cougars handed Mitchell in the Toe River Rivalry last... Did you know it was the Toe River Rivalry?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, because I call on customers up there.
Oh, yeah. Last week and hold fast at number two in the power rankings, Kaysen Jones and company now turn their sights on a number three Hendersonville for all of the marbles in the Western Highlands. Their ability to control the pace of the game by limiting possessions and tackling the Bearcats in space will be key for the Cougars to come away with the victory and another league title. Number one. They've been number one forever. Western North Carolina's finest rises to the challenge of maintaining their number one ranking since... Once again, Tristan Thompson-Wynn continues to make his case for West North Carolina Player of the Year with three receiving TDs. The Blue Devils begin the Haywood County Tour this week, visiting Tuscola. Pisgah is looming in the final game of the year. So, Carson.
Yes, sir.
None of us sound like Pat.
No, none of us sound like Pat, and quite frankly, none of us sound like Derek either.
No.
So...
Pat's has a very unique, he's got the radio voice, right? What they used to, when I used, oh, When I used to do some announcing, they say I was smooth jazz, but Pat's, he's got the radio voice.
Yeah, for sure.
So just a cute few notes. Dropped out Irwin and Mitchell. Others receiving votes, Tuscola and Irwin, so they're just outside the top 10. And he says, Owen Madison winner, Owen.
Yep.
Of course.
So he did include that.
Of course.
So.
Huge.
Top 10.
Huge must-win game
in
the Valley.
Those top three have been the top three for a while.
They have, and I just don't know. It's still cool seeing the high school OT do the graphic each week of the undefeated teams left in the state. And it's like, I can always pick out the Blue Devil head.
How many is left in the state? Do you remember?
I want to say they're
roughly
30, probably 30, 30
okay.
or so.
Okay.
I mean, the graphic was pretty, it could be more. The graphic was pretty full, but, you know, I know where to look. That Blue Devil head just, which is ugly.
Yeah,
quite
for
frankly,
sure, for sure.
Quite
huge Blue Devil.
Quite frankly, it's
makes
ugly.
Makes you feel
so
a little nauseated.
Yeah, so it sticks out for sure.
So let's talk about playoffs.
Playoffs.
Practice.
You mix two up right there, but that's okay. You did Allen Iverson in the Indianapolis yeah, coach's voice.
What was that coach's name?
I don't remember it.
No, we don't have to. Yeah, but I know exactly. I see his face for sure.
All right, so you guys want to start 6A or 3A? Where you want to start?
6A.
Okay, so 6A right now. Reynolds, of course, if Reynolds wins the Robertson matchup, they're going to be the sixth seed and have they'll be the number one bye out of the MAC, number one seed out of the MAC, and get a first round bye. TC would be 11, and they would play Central Cabreras. The winner of that game would play Reynolds. Asheville will be the 15th seed, and they would play St. Stephen's if the playoffs started today. St. Stephen's is in the conference with McDowell. They're around Hickory.
Indeed.
So in 5A, Franklin would get a bye at the 7th seed. West Henderson would be the 9th seed, and they would play North Buncombe. Monroe would be the 16th seed and play 17th seed Irwin. The winner of that would play the number 1 seed. Huss would be the 14th seed and play the 19th seed Smoky Mountain. North Henderson would get the 18th seed and play Carson, not Jones.
Dude, that high school sounds dominating.
I know.
I wouldn't want to play them.
You should go there. You should have went there. So in 4A, two first-round byes for the Western North Carolina in 4A. Brevard would be the 1 seed and get a bye. Pisgah, the 3 seed, also get a bye. Number 12, Tuscola would take on 21 West Stokes. That's your 4A.
Indeed.
Lewis has been waiting for this 3A. I can see him over there. He's waiting on it.
I have something else I'm thinking about. Go ahead.
Okay. So in 3A, also two byes currently. Mount Heritage would be the 2 seed and get a bye. Hendersonville would be the 4 seed and get a bye. I think whoever wins this game might move up to the 1 seed because they beat a good team, and it's going to help
their
RBI.
I think they deserve it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So 16 seed East Surrey would take on Madison, and the winner of that would take on the 1 seed. Owen currently would be the 12th seed and would take on 21 McMichael. The winner would take on the 5 seed. Do you think that's Steve McMichael used to play for the Bears?
Let's hope not.
Okay. All right. So what do you got, Lewis?
So remind me, but in the years past, does the number 1 seed get a bye?
What do you
mean? I think normally they're playing like 1 versus like 32 or something, right?
I don't believe we did byes. No. They always do the
I don't know if they did, right?
Ooh, can't remember.
Because I'm thinking right here, like Cabarrus or whatever.
Yeah.
So Reynolds gets a bye. They host one game, and then they get the belt from Cabarrus, and then they're out. So they only get one playoff game. I thought one seeds in the past got a home playoff game.
I think you're right. I think we did not get first-round byes.
Right.
But with so much fewer teams, in like 6A, I guess the number of teams that make it, I guess they gave a bye.
Exactly. So it could be like a catch 22 here where, yeah, you're the top rated seed. That's good. But you get one playoff game, then you catch belt and you don't get no money.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they need to shorten the playoffs at least by a week, in my opinion, with these smaller divisions. Shorten it by a week.
Definitely.
So you have smaller amount of teams that make the playoffs.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. What if one of these, like, 16 seeds come out and, like, get a state championship? How awesome would that be? It's probably not going to happen. Let's be honest. But it could happen.
It could.
After last year with Reidsville, I mean, I guess anything's possible.
I know. God, I
that was crazy.
That was wild.
It is Reidsville.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Dominant team.
Mm-hmm.
Got beat. And then the team that beat them lost.
Yep.
Right.
All right. You guys ready to talk about this week?
I am. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Carson, you actually writing them down this week?
I am.
That's good.
Are you going to go back and listen and get them all wrong?
I'll probably do both, just to double check.
Okay. So we're going to start with an out-of-town game. Two top 25 teams in the state. Number 12, Wes Forsyth, who's 6-2, 3-0 in the conference, travels to Reagan. Number 25 in the state, they're 7-1 and 3-0. Reagan is a 6.5-point home underdog. Currently, they're only scoring 28 a game while giving up 10. They've scored 40 points over their last three, and they're averaging 206 yards per game on the ground and 125 through the air. For Wes Forsyth, they're scoring 35 while giving up 15. They've allowed 14 points in the last three games combined. They rush it for 239 a game and 150 through the air. So both teams fairly balanced, but a little run heavy. Lewis, let's start with you. Who do you taking in this one?
Wes Forsyth.
Wes Forsyth. What did Pat take? Hang on, not Pat. Carson, you go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick up one game on Lewis, one game closer. I'm going to go with Reagan and the home dog. That defense is going to be stingy.
I also think Reagan gets the win here. What did Pat take?
Pat took Wes Forsyth.
All right, that's a split right there.
2-2, good job.
All right, so next up, a little closer to home, Smoky Mountain, 3-5, 1-4 in the conference at Franklin. Franklin 6-2, 4-1 in the conference. Franklin, a 33.5-point home favorite. Franklin's won three in a row since losing to Brevard, while Smoky Mountain has lost three in a row in four of their last five. Last year, Smoky Mountain won this game 35-14. Lewis, who's Pat taking?
Pat is taking Franklin.
Carson, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Franklin with the convincing running clock. I've tried to get on Smoky Mountains, and it's burned me a couple times, to be honest with y'all.
I also think Franklin dominates this game.
Well, 4-4.
Not a surprise.
And what's funny is that's the exact reason why I'm choosing them. Smokey's like screwed me a few
times. I've tried to like go against the grain. I've tried to pick different. They've got to prove to me something.
Yep.
And I don't think it's going to be this week. It's happening this week against Franklin.
Unless Franklin's overlooking them.
They could be. They could be.
So next up, West Henderson at North Henderson. So this is part of the whole Henderson County Challenge. Of course, Hendersonville already won it, but West Henderson 5-3, 3-2 in the conference. North 3-5, 1-4 in the conference. North is a 7.5-point home underdog. North has lost five of their last six, while West has lost two of their last three. Last year, West Henderson won this game 20-13. Carson, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go. There's going to be North Henderson's running back. I don't know with what Pisgah was able to do. I'm not sure how West is going to be with stopping the run. I think West is going to get theirs, but I think this is going to be one of those. Like, I think it's going to be a one possession game, and it's going to come down to who has the ball last. If one team can force a turnover or whatnot, I'm going to go with North Henderson at home here covering.
Neither team been playing great lately, but West, they put up some big numbers last week against a good Brevard team. I just think West takes care of business here. Lewis?
I have seen West play, and hey, they can stop the run.
Stopped your run for sure.
I'm going to go West Henderson.
Okay, yeah, that was not a jab at Owen when I said
appreciate it.
I forgot y'all played.
What about Pat?
He also went West.
All right. Okay. Carson's on an island. Next up, undefeated Brevard, 8-0, 5-0 in the conference, travels to Haywood County, take on Tuscola. Tuscola 4-4, 2-3 in the conference. Tuscola a 23.5-point underdog. Tuscola's lost three of their last four, and they're only scoring 7 points a game in the last four. Brevard, their last four, they're scoring 48 while giving up 16.
Is that combined or average 16?
That's the average, okay. 48-16. I think there's no way Tuscola keeps this one close and Brevard gets the win by more than 23. I think it's probably a running clock. Lewis?
I'm also going Brevard. Tuscola has not showed out the last few weeks.
Wait, you're the Tuscola guy. You're like, I'm riding Tuscola.
His best quarterback ever.
Well, no, the quarterback coach. They took care of that problem.
Okay.
So you're going Tuscola?
No, I'm going Brevard.
Who's Pat taking?
Tuscola.
Well, I'm going to put Pat on an island because Brevard takes care of business this
for
week.
For sure. Yeah.
I can't wait for Pat to buy his dinner.
Dude, it's going to taste so good.
Dude, that's... Yeah, we're going to...
Are we thinking like steak or wings or what are we thinking?
I'm good for anything. I'm really thinking we do that lobster trap.
The lobster trap. We could also do a cooking. I'll cook and Pat buys the food.
Yeah, we could do that. Or you guys could lock me in East Village for 6 hours. And
East
I could,
Village.
And I could... And Nick, until they run out of wings.
Nick
I could.
Would love that.
I do love their wings. So next up, North Buncombe, 2-6, 0-3 in the conference, travels to Asheville. Asheville 3-5, 1-2. Asheville, a 32.5-point home favorite. Asheville has lost three of their last four, but they beat Irwin last week. For North Buncombe, they held ACR scoreless for the first quarter. Can they build on that? Who went first? Was it? I went last time. Lewis.
Oh.
Lewis looking at Carson. He's just worried is Carson going to pick up a game.
Regrettably, I'm going for Asheville on this one.
Why?
Regrettably?
Yeah.
Because they haven't been able to put anything together. There's no consistency. They have a lot of freshmen. But I just have to go with them.
They haven't been able to put anything together except a win against the defending MAC
champs.
Here's
the thing.
A collapsing team without their best player.
A collapsing team that took Reynolds to the wire. We watched it.
Reynolds is also not a good team. They're not the standard anymore. Look at Brevard.
In the MAC, they're still the standard. Until Robertson beats them.
The MAC doesn't matter, dude.
You're right. Okay.
The MAC definitely matters.
The MAC definitely matters.
Until you just said I'm right, then you switched to him. You're not a very good debater, bro.
The Mountain 8 is good, but I'm telling you right now, Reynolds is still the standard until someone beats him. Unfortunately, that is the case.
You have someone from the Mountain 8, and then you have someone from... Oh, no, no. The top two teams are both from the Western Highlands, right? Who's Dirty Dozen? What is it?
Number one is Brevard.
Brevard,
that's
Mountain
Heritage.
Mountain 8. And then what's the next two?
Mount Heritage and Hendersonville.
Yeah.
Oh, the MAC's not in the top three, so apparently they don't freaking matter.
They still matter.
They can't
they
get
still
it together.
Matter.
They've got 4-5.
Oh, that's good. I'm very happy for them. They're not on the podium.
But let's remember, Hendersonville lost to Irwin, and Irwin got beat by Reynolds and Asheville. So maybe Hendersonville's not that good.
I think Hendersonville gives Reynolds Bell all night long.
We'll never know because they won't schedule.
I know, right?
So
sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
I love it. I love it. Let's get fired up.
Yeah, where were we at?
Where were we at? You just picked who? Asheville?
You said regrettably he picks Asheville, and I'm
Asheville.
Like, okay, they're playing North Buncombe, Lewis.
Who's Patrick taking?
Take North Buncombe, Lewis. Take him.
No.
Take him.
He's also going with Asheville.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Carson Jones.
Yeah, I'm going with Asheville as well.
I also think Asheville wins this one. Hopefully, they don't come out flat. I think they win by this many. Yeah,
I do too.
So next up, this should be a pretty good game. TC 5-3, 3-0 in the conference, travels to Irwin. Irwin 2-6, 1-2 in the conference. Irwin a 12.5-point home underdog. Irwin is 1-3 since beating Hendersonville. They have three losses by 6 points or less. TC 4-0 in the last four. In the last four, guys, they're averaging 41 points a game and only giving up six. Their defense is playing fantastic.
Yeah, and it sounds like they got the offensive side of the ball rolling. Yeah. Ever since I was told they made a quarterback change at the South Point game, and they started a senior to start the year, and when they made the quarterback change, the sophomore, it's kind of just exploded.
Who's Patty taking?
He's going TC.
Carson.
I'm going with TC as well.
I think TC wins this one.
I also have TC.
Yeah, man, I want to pick Irwin, but... That loss to Asheville, that's got to be crushing.
It's the collapse at the end, dude. That's what bothers me.
So next up, what should be not a great matchup, Inca at Reynolds. Reynolds, a 32.5-point home favorite. Since giving up 70 to Freedom, they're 3-0, while scoring 29 and only giving up 8 in those three. For Inca, they've lost three of their last four. They beat North Buncombe and then lost to TC and Irwin. Last year, Reynolds won this game 48-0. Carson?
Yeah, and they won 48-0, and we talked a little bit that Reynolds usually isn't trying to put the 70 number up, and they just, like, they probably called off the dogs and still got to 48. Reynolds is going to call off the dogs and still cover this by...
Now, Inca kept it close with Asheville or Irwin. Kept it close with Irwin.
Yeah, they did. I think this is a little bit different.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with at Reynolds getting right... And this should be 45 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Reynolds.
It's the standard.
What are you and your boy taking?
Pat also chose Reynolds.
What? That's a surprise.
I'm going to act like I'm the ACT here. Reynolds is the best team in the world. They have the best coaching staff. None of their players ever do anything wrong. They have the best administration. The cheerleaders are great. The band is fantastic.
Their concession.
Oh, don't forget the barbecue nachos. Oh, wait, that was me and you. They don't have that no more.
Lewis and I came with barbecue nachos. They tasted so good.
It was the best thing ever.
So next up, which is definitely the game. I know Reynolds usually lasts, but this is the game of the week.
This is on paper.
How could it possibly be? It's not a MAC team.
We said the MAC was good. We didn't.
I said the Mountain Eight. I said let's start with the Mountain Eight because that's the dominant conference.
I mean, if Reynolds is still relevant.
You said Reynolds was not relevant. Reynolds is still relevant.
The MAC's not relevant this year.
Yes, they are.
In the West, no, it's not.
Well, so let me ask you this.
They beat Hendersonville. Who's your best team?
That's good.
Let me ask you this. If Roberson dog walks, come here.
3A.
Hear me out. If Roberson dog walks Reynolds, okay, do you think what does Roberson have to do for you to be like, okay, the Mac's here. The Roberson's legit. That brings the Mac up so much.
I think.
How much do they have to beat Reynolds by? 21?
Oh, I would love that if that happened. But no matter what happens, the Mac's not there this year. What's happened is they've cut each other's throats so much, still in players and doing all this stuff, and then injuries and all this stuff has happened. The Mac, no one cares about the Mac this year. They're not filling up the crowds. The crowds are coming out to Owen. They're going out to Tuscola. They're doing all that stuff. No one wants to fill up an Asheville. Oh, hold on a minute. I'm sorry. Asheville does fill up, but they do it after halftime when the tickets are free. No one fills a stadium. No one gives a shit about the Mac this year.
I'm just saying that there's still some relevance to it. I never said that there was the stronger, most dominant, but I don't even know where we're going with it.
So next up, we have Mount Heritage 7-1, 4-0 in the conference against Hendersonville 7-1, 4-0 in the conference. This ultimately a conference championship game. Mount Heritage, they haven't played a team like Hendersonville.
They have not.
Can they slow the game down, limit possessions? They've won four in a row, and in those four in a row, they're scoring 51 while giving up 12. So their offense and their defense are clicking. For Hendersonville, they're 4-0 since a loss to the MAC fourth-place team, Irwin, and they're scoring 52 while giving up 9. Can Hendersonville use their athleticism to beat Mount Heritage? Can they stop the physical run? The only thing, when I look back at Hendersonville's schedule, they played North Henderson, who has a physical running back. Hendersonville only won 32-27. So I don't know if that gives us a key or what. I'll go first on this one. I just think this is a pick 'em. Hendersonville, they're going to out-athlete Mount Heritage, and Hendersonville gets the win in this one. Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to – it being at Hendersonville, I think definitely like – I'm not going to say it would be dramatically different, but I think traveling to Hendersonville – that is going to make it more difficult for Mountain Heritage.
Yeah, because you got to leave at 3 o'clock because of traffic.
Correct.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
But, and you know, Mountain Heritage, talk about the crowds. It's like, I've seen pictures of their stands. They're
always filled, no matter what.
They're never not filled.
That's right.
So I'm hoping that they've got some fans that travel because I'm going to go with Coach Pope. Go to the same church as them. So I'm going to go with Coach Pope, and I'm going to go with Mountain Heritage covering.
It's a pick 'em.
Yep, exactly. So they're going to win the game outright.
What about your boy, Pat?
He went Hendo.
Yeah. What about you?
Go with them.
This is where you have to make your pick.
I'm going with the athletes. I'm going Hendersonville.
Cool. The team that slows the ball down. From Lewis and Owen.
Yeah.
Who plays the same style of play as Mountain Heritage.
Yeah.
And guess what? We got our ass beat by Hendersonville.
Okay.
I think Mount Heritage also wins this game. I'm switching Mount Heritage.
Mike.
Mount Heritage has been here before.
Hey, you're not going to get first anyway, so you might as well switch it up.
They have the experience.
Mike,
I think Mount Heritage
wins. I'm right there with you. I think this is just another game for Mount Heritage.
Right. I think they're ready for this. They got Kaysen Jones, and he's the difference maker.
Let's do it.
Kaysen Jones will be the best player on the field.
At least Mike and I will be there. Come by and say hey to us.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Which side are we sitting on?
I think we had to sit on Hendersonville.
Yeah, I generally sit on the home side, except last week, because I wanted to heckle you while you're running the chains. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I started to yell, he's moving the sticks, he's moving the sticks, but I decided not to.
That never happened.
I know, but I wanted to yell it.
I love it. So, I love it.
Anyway. Yeah. Guys, great show.
Great slate. I mean, great slate for us. We got some exciting things to talk about next week.
Lewis a little unhinged as always.
I mean, I can't wait to get the, dude, Lewis was on one. Yeah. It's like, yeah, for sure.
Pat's not here to keep him under control.
Yes. But no, we love you guys. I mean, this is just, this is.
Do we got a fun question?
We do. Yeah, we got a question and Carson's got it. Carson, go ahead.
If you can only watch one sport for the rest of your life, but it cannot be football, basketball, or baseball, what would it be, Mike?
I mean, it's got to be cricket.
Okay.
I mean,
have you watched that before?
Cricket's, it's pretty much like baseball, sort of, not really. No.
You're not going rugby?
No, cricket. Because, listen, I love baseball. It's second behind football. And with cricket, you got the whole bouncing the ball, whacking it with the paddle. I mean, it's wild.
Dude, they chuck the ball, too.
They play for days. It's the game doesn't last a few hours. It lasts days.
People think baseball lasts long here.
Go watch cricket.
Go watch cricket.
Lewis, I guess you're going rugby.
I'm not.
For sure. He loves wrestling dudes. That's the perfect Lewis fit ever.
I do love rugby, but I'm going with curling.
Curling, not like
that's the only sport you can watch and you're picking curling.
Wait, when you're in the weight room and you're like lifting curling?
No. Like with the ice.
Oh, when you got the broom?
Where you do the little shuffle thing?
I love curling.
We're only fat guys who go to the bar can go to
I guess Lewis and I is kind of interconnected because mine is going to be hockey. I think that hockey is extremely fast paced. It's physical. Yeah. It's you've got skill.
I've been watching the Hurricanes.
Dude,
undefeated.
Luke, we got to get Luke down to a game.
He went to a preseason game.
Did he go to a preseason game?
Yeah.
That place, it's every year it's voted loudest house in the NHL. It's that the colors are NC State colors, but that place sells out every single night. Everybody in the Triangle goes. Carolina Hurricanes, they're the number one odds to win the Stanley Cup. That usually means it's not going to be our year again, but but they are a wagon this year.
I just got a text from Pat. He said competitive cheerleading. He loves cheerleading.
I can see that. I was thinking it was going to be breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
I thought Pat to me looks like an opera singer.
What is that, like Caviochi or you know what I'm talking about? What
not
is that
a clue.
Dude?
If Pat was on The Voice, I think he'd make it past the first round.
I think so too.
Would he make it on Dancing with the Stars, though?
No, he would not.
No, I've just seen him move enough to where I don't think that would be the case.
Okay.
But he's famous enough. He could be on Dancing with the Stars.
We all clearly can't do his voice.
No, we're really bad at it.
We tried. We're not very good at it.
I can't give that much enthusiasm in what I'm saying.
Yeah. I wish we could. Sometimes, you know how you don't like hearing your voice? But that's just like a thing. It's like. You know, I love Pat's voice is one of those. It's Morgan Freeman-esque.
Yeah.
I'd want Pat to narrate my life.
Yeah, absolutely. As a spotter, I listen to my voice a lot, yeah. So I'm kind of used to it, but it's not like Pat's for sure. It's more like smooth jazz.
Indeed.
So, all right, guys. Another great show. Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Yep. We love you guys. Can't wait till next week.
Thank you.
Next week, last week of the regular season.
Last season.
Last season of the week of the